Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company update from Vangold Mining, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VGLD. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, James Anderson. Now, James, the last time I had you on the show was back at the later part of September last year. A lot's changed with Vangold Mining. You still hold the El Pingüico property that is in Mexico, but you are also undertaking a new acquisition on the back of a financing that just closed yesterday, March 10th. You raised just short of $17 million. This is to acquire the El Cubo property that was held by Endeavor Silver. James, give us a little update and background on this El Cubo property, please.
Okay, thanks for having me on, Corey. Like you say, there's been a lot going on in the last 6 months. So when we spoke last, we had just finished a 1,000-ton bulk sample with material from our El Pingüico project. And we did that with Endeavor Silver, and we used their Bolanitos mill, which is about 28 kilometers to the north. Because of the relationship that we were developing with Endeavor at the time, we began to discuss the possibilities of us purchasing their nearby mill, which had been closed down in November of 2019, so about 14 months ago. And discussions went very, very well about our ability to be able to put together a financing that we could pay Endeavor for it and to take that over. And for us, it's really a situation of one plus one makes a whole bunch more than that. We've got a bunch of material at Pingüico that we can ship to the El Cubo mill. That mill is only about 8 kilometers by road away from Pingüico, so we can do that. But there's also a whole bunch of material that's left at El Cubo that maybe in a $15 silver environment, you know, didn't have much sex appeal to it. At a $25 silver number, it certainly does have a lot of sex appeal to it. So we'll be able to use material both from Pingüico and El Cubo, and we'll start processing that material through the mill in August or September of this year. So I can say, you know, with a straight face, that we're only 5 or 6 months away from production here, and we can be Canada and Mexico's next silver and gold producing company.
What are some of the production metrics that you can share with us that are known in the market, just to bring everybody up to speed there?
Well, I guess the most important production metric for us, it's a 1,500 ton a day mill, but we will not operate the mill at that capacity. We'll operate it at about 750 tons a day. And the reason for that is because these narrow but very good grade central Mexican epithermal vein systems, they can last a long time so long as you treat them right. But if you try and mine them too quickly, or you might try and mine them too wide, you know, with stopes that are too wide, then all you end up doing is putting more waste rock and more dilution through the mill. So we're going to be more modest in our approach in terms of tonnage, but that will drive grade higher, and we'll be able to use material, as I mentioned, from both of the projects to be able to feed that mill. So I think in that way, we may well be a little bit smaller than the way that El Cubo has been run in the past under Endeavor Silver, but I think that we've got a real good chance of being more profitable, especially in this, you know, the silver price environment that we've got.
Are there any risks that brings into the company by mining it on a smaller scale and also using material from both of these properties?
Well, I think those decisions are all about de-risking. I think a lot of times with these type of situations, companies get pressured by shareholders and by the market and by analysts to drive more and more material through the mill. Faster is better. Let's get it all done. But then, you know, you have a challenge about keeping up with putting more and more material in sight to be able to continue to actively mine the area. All mining is a finite resource, right? So, you know, you're taking that material out, you have to replace it. Now, replacing that material in this part of Mexico, they've been mining there for 480 years. They've been mining at El Cubo on and off, but mostly on for about 200 years. So is this a sustainable mining activity? Yeah, it is, so long as you're doing it at a sustainable pace. And that's what we intend to do.
Now, is there any work that you guys need to do at El Cubo once the acquisition does go through to further de-risk this, make the move into production at both of these projects a bit smoother?
Yeah. So, yes, there's a ton of work for us to do. So just to give your listeners a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about that. So we announced through an LOI with Endeavor on December 18th, our desire to purchase the El Cubo project. We then announced the financing. We've upsized that a number of times, closed it yesterday, about us closing the $17 million Canadian dollar financing. And among others, Eric Sprott was a participant in that. And I think that the market this morning, trading to new 52-week highs, appreciates Mr. Sprott's participation in the financing and participation in what we're doing down there. The next things that we have to do, we have to recommission the mill. It's been closed for about 14 months. All of the component parts are there, Corey. You know, so it's, I liken it to buying an old Pontiac. You know, all of the engine works, the transmission works, but, you know, it might need new tires. And it's been sitting for 14 months, so we're going to need to give it a tune-up. And what that means with a mill, so, you know, we have filters and cables and all kinds of, you know, attendant pieces and parts to be able to replace before we start running material through that mill again in August. But all of the big component parts, it's got three ball mills, for instance, they're all intact. We've just brought in an X-ray team to be able to X-ray all of the big component pieces, make sure that there's no hairline fractures anywhere. So we've got 5 or 6 months in front of us to be able to refurbish that mill. And I think we've costed it well, especially with regards to the PEA that we published by Baird Dolbear. And just a couple of weeks ago, we put out a news release as such. And, you know, they've given us some very good costing guidelines in terms of what all of that's going to cost.
Okay, so it sounds like you really do have a handle on how you're going to get this into production in the near term, because you are hoping to have, material running through there sometime, let's call it late summer, and then even commercial production shortly after that. What about exploration potential at these projects too? Because you do have resources here, and fine, you're going to start mining those, but fact of the matter is everyone is also interested on how you can replenish those resources and any other growth opportunities from the drill bit.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, before I fully answer that question, that within the PEA itself, Baird Dolbear suggests that we have enough material right now for a 7-year mine life at 750 tons a day. So there is a substantial amount of material both at El Cubo and Pinguico to be able to do that. On a near-term basis, there's this surface stockpile of material at Pinguico, which, you know, kind of was the first thing in kicking off our discussions with Endeavor. How are we going to monetize that? So that material, although low grade, is very, well, it's moderate grade. It's a little over 100 grams of silver per ton, but it's very low hanging fruit. It's, you know, it's on surface. All we have to do is get a front end loader, put it on the back of some 20 ton trucks and bring it over the 8 kilometers to the mill. So that brings us to the other part of your question, which is about exploration. And yes, there is exploration potential of both of these projects. Pinguico was the highest grade mine in the Guanajuato area 100 years ago. And we think that it can, you know, that we'll be able to boast similar things about that in the future. It has never seen a significant drill program either in the 20th century or this century. We purchased our own drill last fall. It finally arrived in September. And that drill is drilling in an ongoing way at Pinguico right now. So I think we're on our sixth drill hole as we speak. There will be, we're the first ones to drill it, there's going to be a whole bunch of surprises, good and bad, from our drilling. But we're very excited about what we're going to be able to uncover in terms of exploration potential at Pinguico, simply because it was such a high grade mine 100 years ago. But the Pinguico claim boundary, the Pinguico footprint of claims, is quite small. And it was one of the things that people were concerned about a year ago. And they said, well, okay, this is all great, James, about the surface stockpile and underground stockpile. Maybe you can monetize those. You know, where are you going to find enough material to really make this into a mining venture? Well, the El Cubo purchase, not only do we get the mill and the mine, but we get 7,000 hectares of mining claims in one of North America's longest-lived silver and gold mining camps. So is there ample exploration potential? Absolutely. And we've already got a number of ideas, both near, you know, near-term and close to present resources and how we can expand those, but also things that are more further afield that will probably take a little bit longer to work up to being drill ready, including, and this is, you know, this kind of encapsulates a number of different parts of what I've just been saying, but we've got a chance of drilling at Pingüico into the mother vein, into Veta Madre, which is a 30-kilometer structure that the Spanish and then the Mexicans have been mining for about 450 years. That structure will cross our claim boundary at depth. We don't know whether it's mineralized at that depth. It's never seen, you know, a proper drill program, but that's something that we wanted to do in the first quarter of this year. With everything else that we've got going on, that will not happen. You know, that will be postponed somewhat, but we absolutely want to do that. It's something that can change the affairs of the company very, very quickly.
James, one other thing we should note too, when it comes to exploration, the company does also own its own drill. So how does this help out moving exploration forward and actually just keeping a drill turning?
Yeah, most exploration companies, most companies of Vangold size do not buy their own drills. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. We're in a unique position in central Mexico. We're about 7 or 8 kilometers away from a mining city of 150,000 people. It's not getting the drill that's tricky. It's getting the drillers. But we have contract drillers who are working for us on a permanent basis who operate our own drill. And when we were costing it out, Corey, you know, to get a contract driller to come in, you're looking at probably about $150 US dollars per meter to drill at our property. Well, we can do this in-house for about a third of the cost. So we figured out that it was going to be about 12 drill holes that we would have to drill before that drill pays for itself. So after a month, well, after 2 months of drilling, we're almost at the point where we can, well, we're about halfway to the point where we can say where that drill paid for itself. So we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to be able to drill on an ongoing basis, you know, kind of perpetually. So we'll be able to put more tons and more ounces in sight very quickly, very effectively, and at a very low cost.
Okay. Hey, James, I really appreciate this update. As I mentioned on the onset, a lot has developed with Vangold Mining. It's a very interesting acquisition and now near-term move into production. If anybody has any follow-up questions for James Anderson regarding Vangold Mining, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. James, I appreciate the update today. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your time, Corey. I'll talk to you real soon.